Thank you, Dan, for your special music. And it's always surprising to me, yet not surprising, when the Spirit has made such a beautiful song fit so well with our day. And thank you, Ben, for leading us in our scripture lesson today. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So I want to begin by inviting us to think back to our days in grade school. What was your favorite activity? What school subject did you enjoy learning about? Who were the friends that you hung out with? Can everyone picture that grade school you? Who were your people? And so now, this will be entertaining, but I want you to raise your hand if you are a part of any of these groups. And you may see other people you might have something in common with. If at school, were you a part of music in school? Raise your hand. And you can raise them high, because we might be taking... Okay, how about if you were involved in sports? How about home ec? How about shop or ag? Seen some hands. There we go. How about theater? Very good. Art? This is neat. I kind of get to know everyone here. Now, who here was popular? We actually have some hands. That's great. Yeah, thanks for your honesty. Now, I want to say this in the kindest way possible, but who here was not popular? Those are some proud hands that went up. Thank you all. Now I want you to picture the one place where all of that was put on display, the school cafeteria. Can you picture the different posses, the tables that would welcome anyone to sit down? Can you picture the tables that required a VIP pass? The table where you had to be the best, the smartest, the prettiest, the strongest, the one that not everyone could get in. You had to be worthy or proven. It's kind of silly looking back at that, isn't that? Although as we look at the world today, we may wonder if we actually mature and change. Or do the tables simply take on new forms, such as the neighborhood we live in, our race, our nationality, even religion, all determining who is worthy to sit at the table? In this way, Luke records that the Pharisees were watching Jesus' every move closely. Now, before we hate on the Pharisees, I should remind you that the Pharisees are not the bad guys. They are not the bad guys. We often make them out to be the enemy of Jesus, but like Jesus, they were creating a religious movement aimed at living their faith more faithfully and more open-mindedly than most in their time. In first century Palestine, the temple in Jerusalem was the house of God. And it was commonly believed that it was the only place to connect with God. If you were not praying in the temple, God did not hear you. The Pharisaic movement, among other things, understood and taught that one could connect with God in their own homes, not just in the temple. You don't need to be in a building to worship. God goes with you. It was a radical idea in that culture and at that time. And then comes Jesus with his transient disciples and his transient posse whose popularity was drawing large crowds and he did not fit this typical idea of a religious elite. People whisper that to be in the presence of Jesus was to be in the presence of God. Some even said he was the Son of God. Like the popular table eyeing the new kid in town, the Pharisees wanted to see what he was made of. So they decided to invite him to their table for a closer look. Now, the passage that Ben just read for us is the third dinner party that Jesus has had with the Pharisees in Luke. So let's recap real quickly what has happened so far. At the first party, actually before dinner is even served, Jesus breaks one of their rules. He lets a woman wash and anoint his feet. Women, especially this woman who they have labeled a sinner, was not welcomed into their male-dominated, Pharisaic space. This act crossed many social boundaries and religious boundaries. Jesus not only welcomes her, but blurs those boundaries of society and in religion. So needless to say, their relationship was off to a rocky start. But they invite him to another dinner. And again, before dinner is even served, Jesus will break another rule. He doesn't wash his hands. Again, the Pharisees are stunned. He is not abiding by the purity rituals. And then Jesus tells them, "Now you Pharisees clean the outside of your cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." Jesus is not talking about washing dishes, but something deeper, something spiritual for them to think and pray on. And so the Pharisees continue to watch his every move. What makes this man so great? And by the third party that was just read to us, we should expect it is not going to go well. And it doesn't. Before dinner takes place again, in walks a man with hugely swollen joints. We can imagine that the joints in question are noticed by everyone there. Perhaps he is favoring a leg over another. Maybe he moves his arms and he winces a little with discomfort. But everyone takes notice. And Jesus can't remain silent. First, he is a healer and notices the pain of others around him. Second, he is a teacher and takes every opportunity to invite people to a deeper understanding of God. And so he does both in this instance by saying, "Is it permitted to heal on the Sabbath? Yes or no?" Mind you, the man with the swollen leg, with the swollen joints, is right there in front of everyone. And in the presence of the man who is hurting and in discomfort, Jesus has put the Pharisees and their theological convictions in the light, has held them up for everyone to see, all the while wondering, can they heal this man on the Sabbath? We may rightly wonder how different our world would be if those who are typically not invited into spaces of rulemaking were invited. We may rightly wonder how different our world would be if politicians, before voting on deporting immigrant families, were told to share a meal and share stories with those families before their decision. We may wonder, what if U.S. senators, before they allowed the child tax credit to expire, a tax credit that reached 65 million children and kept 3.7 million children out of poverty, what if they were to sit down or play basketball or connect four with some of those children? Could they have gone through with it, knowing that their vote and voice had real-life consequences? Many of us have been following Columbus City Schools in the strike. But think of the stress and anxiety that could have been avoided if those that opposed these needed changes spent a week with teachers, enduring the conditions and learning the stories of why their salary was inadequate to live on. who is in the room matters. And Jesus knew it. It changes the way we answer. It changes the way we see the world. It changes the way we think about God, and always for the better, because it can no longer be black and white. By his very presence, the man with swollen joints gives Jesus' question power and pushes the Pharisees to reconsider the consequences of their theology, like whether this man is healed or not. They know the doctrines, they know the scripture, they know the catechism, they've gone to Sunday school, they can recite the Nicene Creed word for word, but they have no words for whether this person should be healed. Is it permitted to heal on the Sabbath? In the man's presence, they can say nothing. They are completely silent. They have no good news to share. And so after Jesus heals the man, Jesus takes the opportunity to observe the Pharisees. And what he observes is people trying to elbow their place of honor at the table, in which words seem to have come pretty easily if it meant vying for a position of privilege. This was the religion that Jesus sought to transform. It is the religion that God continues to try to make better. A religion that was about who was in and who was out. A religion that fought to maintain power and privilege, yet was surprisingly quiet in the face of suffering and injustice. Recently, the Barna Group polled young adults and their view of the Christian church in the U.S. In their research, they uncovered that 3 out of 5, 60% of young adults, have disconnected permanently from the church or for extended time. And of those 60%, they cited 6 reasons why this is the case. And among the 6 are that churches are ignoring the real problems in the world. They have experienced that churches can be shallow, that churches can judge sexuality too quickly. The church is unfriendly to those who doubt. And lastly, they struggle with the exclusive nature of the church. Back to the cafeteria. Who are worthy to be at the table? Who is worthy at God's table? The good news is that Jesus, who blurs social and religious boundaries, teaches them this parable. This is how to be a good host. The next time you put on a dinner, don't just invite your friends and family and rich neighbors, the kind of people who are already sitting at your table. Invite some people who never get invited, the misfits from the wrong side of the track. You'll experience a blessing. You'll experience a blessing. I once heard and mentioned the children's message, a blessing not as a reward for good behavior, not as perks or privilege for doing something right, not a blessing as far as I got lucky, but a blessing is a thing that changes us for the better. What if the man with swollen joints was a blessing to the Pharisees, an invitation to change for the better? What if the radical hospitality that we put on our sign in the front lawn has nothing to do with membership or growth of the church, but has everything to do with transforming our world as God intends and changing our hearts as God intends? What if the shrinking numbers of the church attendance across every single denomination in the U.S. is really a blessing? A yes or no choice to heal those hurting, and to advocate for the vulnerable and the marginalized like Christ. For our children's message, we bless the birthday supplies that we as a church collected, and just in 2 weeks. We bless them in the hope that these items could change lives for the better, if not just a little bit better, restoring dignity and agency, allowing tight budgets to celebrate big, a life God preciously made. Jesus says, you will experience a blessing. And so as you go into the week, I invite you to count your blessings, for you have been blessed. But I also invite you to see the world as a cafeteria. See the ways we are divided. Notice the ways that make us feel superior and more worthy, and realize what Jesus proclaimed. We are all equal. We are all different, but we are all equal. And when all are seen and we build a house where all are welcome, we will be changed for the better. Amen. Amen.